morning. How are you guys doing today? It's a great Sunday, and I'm glad that you were here. If you weren't here last week, you missed it when my pastor spoke. It was a last-minute deal. I didn't even really know about it until just before he called me and offered to speak, and I told him yes, and it was really great, but I'm glad that you're here today. Today's going to be a great Sunday and a great message, but before we get into that message, I wanted to show everybody what God has been doing in us. Actually, you can look around and see. We've just grown. We've seen so many come to know the Lord. We've just seen tremendous growth. We've seen tremendous life change, and it's very exciting. And so it is my heart as a pastor, I want to be able to get you to see what is to come. Because God has called us to reach people and build lives. That's why we exist. That is why we are here, to reach people with the truth that God knows them and loves them, and he has a purpose and a plan for them. And I'm asking everybody here to help us make a place for those who aren't here yet. Where is the first place, do you know, where the first place that we have to make a place for someone who isn't here yet? Do you know where it is? I asked our staff, and some were like, kids' space. I'm like, that's a very good answer. The foyer, yeah, that's a good answer. But the truth is, while those are very practical, the first place that we have to make for others coming into this place to encounter God, the first place is we have to make a place for them in our heart. And thank you guys for being such a welcoming congregation, with a congregation that has a heart for God and a heart for people. And know that practically we are making a place for people. Last year we started our even greater capital campaign to be able to renovate some of our spaces and prepare for the future. And so there's three things that we're going to be preparing for in this facility. The first is a brand new front entrance, which I'm really excited about. So that'll make life a whole lot better. We're also expanding our foyer all the way out to the pillars that are on the porch. It's going to give us a much bigger foyer so we don't have to like rub shoulders and walk sideways to go get kids. And then we're in the middle of renovation for our kids' space. The kids' facility is being renovated, and we're actually going to be renovating the whole thing. So for the next 3 to 4 months, you're going to see a lot of construction. You don't see it so much right now because we've blocked it all off and moved our kids' space into our theater room, which is another empty room. But can I show you guys just a very short video of what's to come? Y'all want to see that? Good. Why don't we roll that? God's called us to plant a secondary campus. And we talked about this last year, and we thought for sure that Sulphur was going to be the place. And then literally every door that was seemed to be open was closed, from meeting facilities to purchasing property, which you can for about $4.50 a square foot for any place that you'd remotely want to place a church. That's just for land, not building. And that would be on the very low side, a minimum $4 million build, which we're not ready to commit to, because I like doing things debt-free, don't you? You do understand what mortgage, what that means. The root words of mort means death. Engage means strangle. Anybody here ever been house poor? Yeah, I know what that's like. It's like somebody got a stranglehold on you. Our facility is paid off. Somebody praise God. Come on, that's awesome. And we want to do all of our building. We'd love to do it. Not saying that's absolutely going to happen, but we'd love to be able to do all of our building for our secondary campus completely debt-free. That's my heart, my passion. I'd love to do that. But it's going to be contingent on people giving. And so we started the campaign last year as a 3-year campaign. And you can actually look on our website and you can look that up. I don't believe it's on our app. But I'm asking everybody to take this card out right now. Take a look at it. I'm encouraging you to seek God, to pray, and to make it's in the seat back in front of you, to make a commitment if you haven't done so. For those of you that have made a commitment, and many of you have actually even fulfilled your commitments, thank you so much. We could not be doing what we're doing right now in the expansion of our kids' space, our foyer, and our entrance without your commitment. For those of you that made a commitment, but it's just been tough financially, I'm just going to pray that God opens the doors of heaven in your life so that you can give and build towards the future. And for those of you that are new here, and that's so many, I'm just encouraging you, seek God, ask him, Lord, what can I do? And we're asking to give above and beyond regular tithes and offerings so that we can build a place for those who aren't here yet. You know, I say it all the time, and it's so true. And I'm so humbled and honored. And if you've stuck around here, you know I don't talk about money much. But I know that we need it to be able to do what God's called us to do. And so we're gonna reach the goals, and we're gonna build what God's called us to build. We get to be a part of that. Thank you for what you do. And in fact, I'm leaving right after the first part, the introduction of the second service, to go to a building dedication for a friend of mine, Pastor Jeff Little in Milestone in Keller, Texas. He's part of our family of churches. And if you don't know our family of churches, and I think we have a tile up there that just shows our family of churches, we're connected with 17 other churches. And it's really just like a family. They also help us in overseeing this church and what God's doing here. But we're leaving my wife and I today in just a little bit to go to Pastor Jeff Little's their building dedication, which is this evening in Keller, Texas, where just a few years ago, they were our size. At Easter, they had over 9,000 people, and they've seen thousands come to know Christ in the last 6 or 7 years. Isn't that cool? I know what God has in store for us, asking you to be a part. I'm going to pray for you, and then you got a really cool, really cool experience, because Pastor Tom is speaking this morning on an area that he does not struggle with at all, right, Pastor Tom? Godly communication in our relationships. Father, I pray a blessing on everyone here. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you. Lord, I just thank you that you have called us to be the light in the darkness. I just pray blessing on everyone here. I pray just financially you make provision for what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all give a hand to Pastor
Tom.
Amen,
amen. All right.
You can have fun.
Thank you, sir. How's everyone doing? You doing good? So like Pastor Todd said, just take this card out. You'll be praying for it during the service and everything like that. And then at the end of the service, you guys will have the opportunity to put that card into the basket it goes by. It doesn't have to be checked with it today, just a commitment from your heart and stuff like that. So I hope that you guys are excited about being here today. It's going to be a great day. I'm really excited. I see so many new faces, and this is so cool. I'm learning so much just watching, like, sign language. I'm like, good luck signing whatever I'm going to say today. Like, there's going to be words I'm going to make up that she's not going to have to spell. And I only know a little bit of things in sign language. Let me see if I know this. Popcorn. Got it. Tiger. Got it. And the other things you don't really want to see in front of the church. So I know some other things in sign language. But today's going to be a good day. And this Uncommon series, how many of y'all saw Pastor Jacob last week? It was really good, right? It was amazing. If like I said last week, if my wife heard that message before we actually got married, she literally would never have married me. So I'm glad he came 17 years later into our lives and spoke that message so that I could have her trapped into this marriage and so she can't go anywhere. But it was just amazing. As we were learning all these uncommon things, it was uncommon love first and then uncommon relationships. And as we learn on why we want to be uncommon, we first have to understand what common is. You see, we live in a world, and this world is full of common things. It's full of common love. It's full of common relationships. But the word common means this. It means something that is readily occurring, something that is prevalent, something that is already being done on a repetitive basis that people are used to. It's common. But we're not called to be common. In fact, we're called to be uncommon, to do things in an uncommon way. And as we take these things, you see, as Christians on Sundays, we get to come and sit here and listen to the Word of God. But it's good for 45 minutes for you to listen to me. But we not only have to hear, but we have to learn, and then we have to apply. Uncommon lifestyle doesn't happen by you just coming to church on Sunday. An uncommon lifestyle happens by you taking the truth of God and applying it into your life. Sometimes we become real lazy as Christians, and we think that sitting in church on Sunday is going to change your life. Well, it's not. You think that raising your hands during service, you think that doing certain things, it's going to change your life, but it's not. The only thing that is ever going to change your life is doing the things that God has told you to do and being obedient to the things of God. That's what changes your life. You want to have an uncommon life? Start being obedient to what God has called you to do. So uncommon life, like, we have to understand that those things that we have to learn and apply and hear, that those things come from a Bible. And I know that on any given Sunday, I think across America, that a lot of pastors assume that you guys know what a Bible is. But I'm going to say it anyway because it's the Bible. And if it's one person that doesn't know, I want to educate one person. My wife said amen, so that's good. When she agrees with you in church, you're doing a good job. When she's taking notes, you got to be scared. The Bible is the Word of God. It is living, it is truth. It is sacred, it is holy, and it is eternal. The Bible is not the Quran. It is not the enlightened books of Hindi or the Buddhist. It's not the Book of Mormon. The Bible contains 66 books that are the essence and character, the guidance and instruction, the truth, and the answers that come from the one true only God. The Word of God that is written in the Bible is not only living, but it's powerful and inspirational. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God himself through the hands and heart of man and written on paper for you today. You don't have to second guess when I say the Bible says, because you know that when the Bible says, it is the truth. It is not my opinion. It is not from a doctor. It is not from a university. It is from the lips of God written down for you today. It's the only thing that I can say that will change your life. Because just as the Holy Spirit thousands of years ago sat upon the pen of many people as they wrote these books, that same Holy Spirit, when you come into a relationship with God, lives inside of you. And when you read those words on those pages, that Holy Spirit brings that same word to life inside of you. And all of a sudden, you can't help but to change. And you can't help but to do something different. You can't help but to have an uncommon lifestyle. That's the power of the Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, we want to get you one. If you're sitting here and you don't have a Bible, or one that maybe my Bible, look, my very first Bible, I stole. I just got saved. I didn't know anything different. They told me I needed a Bible, and so I stole it. And it had someone else's name on the bottom of it, so I scratched that off, and I wrote my name on the blank spot. And I promised to God that I would use that Bible forever for his glory, and I still use it to this day. And when I first started reading it, I was reading things I didn't like, and I had this black marker, and I started crossing things out in it. So when you get to like 2 Peter and stuff, there are things that are not in my Bible that are in your Bible. And then I got to the Bible part where it says, anyone who adds or removes a single word from the Bible is cursed. And I'm like, oh God, oh, I can't even redo that. Oh well, forgive me, God. But if you don't have a Bible, look, we live in a country where the Bible is not illegal. It is not banned. In fact, it is everywhere in every corner. You can get it for free. You can pay hundreds of dollars for it, but it is available to you on a phone, in paper, on an app. It doesn't matter. The Bible is available. We should be glad that we live in a country where we can have a Bible and that we can preach a Bible, that we can hear a Bible, and that we can live it out. There's no reason why you shouldn't have one. So if you're here today and you don't have one, let us get one to you. Take the card in front of you. Write your name on it, tell us you need a Bible, and we're going to get it to you. Because the Bible is that important. In fact, if you want to know more about the Bible, today, after second service, we have Grow Step 1. You saw Pastor Josh up here. He's playing the bass. He's getting like dirt. That's the dirtiest I've ever seen him in my life, is playing that bass. He was just like, bada, 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 bada. He has rhythm. Well, he has 6 kids. He got rhythm. But he has 5 kids, so we don't got them. You know I don't got rhythm. You saw me dance. I got 2 kids 6 years apart. There ain't no rhythm in my life. Just kidding. Sorry for the children that are listening. That's all right. I don't know what that looked like in sign language, but I'm really sorry about that. But Pastor Josh is teaching a class we call Grow One. And Grow One, you get to know about God. You get to hear about God. You get to hear about the truth in the Bible. You get to know the foundation. So if you have any questions about God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, why I'm so attractive, things like that, Pastor Josh will tell you in Grow Chapter 1, or Grow Class 1. It's going to be great. So anyway, we're going back to the Bible, So the Bible says this about uncommon life. We read it in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. You guys can put it up. It says, do not copy the behaviors and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And that seems like a really great verse, right? Look at it. It looks great. It's from the Bible. God said it to you. And so many times I hear people come to me and they say, oh, Pastor Tom, I try, but I just cannot change. Pastor Tom, I see people in my life that I want to be like, and as I strive to be like them, and I strive to do what they do, and they're such good people, but no matter what I do, I can't do it. Let me tell you two things here. Two things that God knows that you might not know. The first one is this. God knows that you can't do it. I want you to leave that verse up there, by the way. And the second thing is this. God knows that you're never going to be somebody else. Because I want to read this again because it's not about you doing anything. It says, do not copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but, what does it say, but what? But what? But let God transform you. We try our whole lives to do and to do and to do and to become this better and perfect person, and we're so worried about being someone different. We're so worried about getting it right. But the thing is we can't do it. It says that let God transform you. Let him come into your life. Without him in your life on a daily basis, without him in your prayers, without you on your knees, without God infecting your life, you're never going to be able to do it because it's all about him and not about you. You want an uncommon life? Well, you guess what? You have to link yourself up with an uncommon God. And you see, you're worried about being someone different, but it says that let God transform you into a new person. The thing about transforming is it's not something new. It's taking the thing that you currently are, rearranging it to what it should be or what it should look like, and making something completely different out of that. You watch the show Transformers. It's a truck, and then it's a monster robot thing shooting at Mark Wahlberg. Had nothing to do with becoming something different. Had everything to do with rearranging what it currently was. And you see, when you were born, every single person was born, and God has a plan, he has a purpose, and he loves you. But the world is jacked up. What does that look like? Oh, ooh. The world is jacked up. That's gonna be like a toy. I gotta get rid of that. The world is jacks you up from what God originally had for you. And so when God comes into your life, he has to go and he has to transform you, rearrange who you are so that when you come on the outside, people don't even recognize you anymore. It's not about becoming a new person. It's about being the best person you've ever been. That's the way that God has made you. Don't strive to be someone else. Strive to get God inside of you to transform who you are. And you see, once God transforms you, life doesn't look the same anymore. This verse, you know, comes to life for you. So now now that we know what common is, and now that we know what God's intentions are, I want to read it like this. I want to read it so it says this. Don't live a common life like the world around you lives. But let God rearrange the person that you are to be the best person just like he intended for you from the very beginning. And he does this by changing the common way that we think and the common way that we do things and exchanging it with his uncommon way of thinking. Man, that sounds so much better to me. All I gotta do is get in relationship with God. All I gotta do is get God in there. But here's the thing. We learn about uncommon love. We've learned about uncommon relationships. And Pastor Todd was talking about, you know, this week. And I'm not even lying. I don't ever get nervous about talking in front of people. But I do not like this message. Because I stink at this. It's so convicting to me. And the thing about a pastor and anyone that gets a microphone, it says in the book of James that anyone that considers themselves a teacher is held to double standard or to a higher account for the things that they preach. And so the very last thing I want to preach is something that's going to be, I'm going to be held accountable for. That's going to be crazy. I'm going to do that. Plus, I got my wife in the front row and she's taking notes. But here's the thing. The best messages are the ones that you preach through, not the ones that you preach from. And so I'm going through this with you. some of these things. Like as I'm writing it down, I know why Pastor Todd didn't want to preach this message. I don't even know if he's even in here. He didn't want to hear the message either. I know it because it's hard and we all struggle with it. This is very convicting talking about uncommon uncommon communication. But we're gonna get through it and we're gonna learn. But we have to endure a little bit of uncomfortable. Look at your neighbor and say, it's gonna get a little uncomfortable. Oh gosh, you guys are like, some people are already uncomfortable. Some people are like, I'm leaving now. We should have took up offering first. It's going to be crazy. No, it's okay. Because you know what? This is the thing. Is communication in this society has become a thing that really does make people uncomfortable. Do you know that in Japan that people pay other people just to stare at them for like 4 minutes in the eyes directly? Number one, that's extremely uncomfortable. But it becomes uncomfortable because we're not used to looking at people in the face. It becomes uncomfortable because we're not used to communicating. And communication is so much more than words. It's eye contact and body language. That's why when you get a text message, you're like, I wonder what they mean by that. Because you don't see them. You don't hear their heart. You don't see the visual cues and stuff like that. And communication for us has become so hard. And so it's going to get uncomfortable because we're about to communicate. Believe me. No one's more uncomfortable than I have like 13 layers of deodorant on today, all right? And no one's more uncomfortable than me. But we're going to get through this. We're going to communicate today. Is that okay with you guys? Good. All the women said yes. All the men are like, I'm leaving. So a researcher, this isn't me. This isn't my opinion. This is a researcher over time for major university. I didn't find out what university it was. He said there's four different. You guys take out your notes. Whoop. If you want to take notes, you can fill these things out. If you want to open up your app. You can take notes in your app right now. But there are four different ways of communicating. The four different ways that people communicate. So this is the world's communication. This is common communication. This is the way the world, this is the way you and me, everybody, this is the way we communicate. Number one is this, is surface communication. Surface communication. Surface communication is, hey, how you doing? What's up? Surface communication on this level is a quick moving communication that people give because they're not looking for commitment, relationship, or investment. They're simply making noise with their mouth because they see another person and they react to it. In surface communication, your brain doesn't communicate and your heart doesn't communicate. It's really just about a noise. Sometimes it doesn't even take words to surface communicate. It could be a head nod, finger point, a wink. It's when you're trying to turn left onto Lake Street right there by my house. None of you guys know about it. And it's like backed up and you're like trying to make eye contact with one person. That's like, you're like trying to turn left and like it's backed up. And you're like, please. And everyone's looking the other way. Like acting like you're not even there. But they know that you're there as you inch out like this. And they're like looking the other way. Like they always look to the right and they don't never make eye contact with people. And then they have like a kid inside and sitting next to them like hitting their arm like, Mom, I think he wants to get you. I'm like, give him my eyes, say, please, I'll pay you if you stop long enough. Just let me out. And then when they finally look at you, they're like, oh my gosh, you're there. I didn't even see you. Come on in. And you're just like, thanks. There's a surface communication. I love them. I mean, I love those people, believe me. But it's surface communication. It doesn't have to even be with words. It's just this basic level of communication. Sometimes it's not even words. Sometimes it's just noises. Oh,
yep.
Men are great surface communicators with noises. That's all we do. There's no words in there at all. No one said anything physical with their mouth. There's no English or anything like that. It's literally just noises. Yet our wives know what it means. But here's the thing, too, about communication, is communication isn't just between a husband and a wife. This communication is between every relationship that you have. This is between your boss and you. This is between employees. This is between friends. This is between neighbors. This is between strangers and your children. Not strangers and your children, that's weird. But strangers, and also communication with your children. But we have to learn how to communicate with everybody around us, not just our mates, not just our husband or our wife, not just the people we like. We have to learn how to communicate. And a surface level communication is great when everybody on that level is on the same page. When you walk, it's okay to like walk by someone in Lowe's and like, you know, hey, or if you don't do that in Lowe's, maybe I just do that in Lowe's and it's just me. I don't really belong in Lowe's a whole lot. I'm usually in the garden section, getting the gloves and the petunias. I don't go to like the lumber section. Who's never been to the lumber section in Lowe's? Anybody never been to the lumber section? Just me. Me and Dixie. Me and one other woman have never been to the lumber section in Lowe's. We just, you know, what would I do? That doesn't fit into my car. What would I do with it? What would I build? They would just look at me. I just park my car between every F-250 in the line and just wait there. Just, they know when I get out. I'm not serious. But surface level communication is okay sometimes. When everybody is on the same level, when everyone expects that level of communication, it's okay. But the thing is when somebody is on a different level of communication, what happens is surface level communication becomes unacceptable. It becomes something hurtful. It could be something painful. Surface level communication, when someone's trying to communicate with you on a different level, communicate something else to the person you're talking to, that you don't care, that you're not plugged in. Because here's what happens, is surface or communication in general is personal. Communication takes time. Communication takes respect. Communication is a life or death. It says in the Bible that the power of life and death are held in your tongue. Communication is life and death. And when people are on different levels of communication, what happens is sometimes you can bring death into that communication. Because they're wanting you to go a little bit deeper, but you're not willing to go that little bit deeper. You're willing to stay on the surface level. And when you stay on that surface level, you bring death and not life, doubt and not security, disrepair and not completion, and disbelief and not that comfort. That's just surface level. Number two, we have surface level and then we have general information. This level of communication is the next step higher. It's the trading and passing off of information. It's unloading the collected knowledge or facts that you've collected throughout the day and giving them to somebody else so that they can have them. But there's no emotion necessarily with this. There's no deepness to it. It's just you taking information and giving it to somebody else. A general information conversation warrants either a general information response, which is like this. Hey, by the way, today, soccer practice is at 4:30. Afterward, I'm just going to run by and pick something up. We eat that for dinner, and then we'll go from there. That's just information. There's nothing in there. And when you have a conversation like that, you can respond with, okay, cool, like I'm going to work late today. It's great. That's another just information. I'm just giving information back to the information given. Or you can have a surface level response like, oh, cool, huh, yep, great. There's no real emotion involved with general information conversations. And again, if both people are wanting to communicate on this level, then it's going to be okay. But if somebody's trying to engage on a deeper level of communication and all you have is this basic information, general information or surface level, what happens is this person's trying to get deeper into this communication, but you are shutting them off with your responses. Relationships aren't made to exist on these two levels of communication. Relationships aren't made to simply be an exchanging of calendars and the exchanging of events. Hey, what's your wife doing today? I'm out. Let me pull up my calendar and see. What, you haven't talked to her? Uh-uh. I got it right here. Hey, what's so-and-so doing? I don't know. They didn't tell me. You didn't ask? No, why would I ask? Relationship isn't made to live in these two kinds of communication styles. We're not made to be two ships passing the night. We're meant to go a little bit deeper in our relationship. Step three is this, or this is the third level. This is where it gets a little uncomfortable. It's called deep feelings. And no one likes feelings. Ugh. But it's called deep feelings. You see, 90% of human conversation exists in the first two levels. 10% is going to exist in the next two levels. And you see, we are enticed and we are attracted to these two levels, the next two levels of, because if you watch a movie, you read a good book and stuff, it ain't full of the first two. It ain't full of surface level and general information. That'd be a really boring book and a really boring movie. We're enticed by these next two levels of communication. And the third one is this, is deep feeling communication. And I know this, I know that feelings is sometimes, I know for me at least, it's sometimes it can be a really awkward, I see someone's already leaving, it's okay, man. Feelings can be a really awkward conversation to have, right? Everyone's like, I'm not leaving, I'm not getting up. I'm gonna get a bladder infection before I get up in this church. My wife's shaking her head. I'm gonna cross that joke out of next service. No bladder infection joke. You guys are lucky. You got it. All right. But feelings, listen to me. Feelings, really, listen to me. I'm serious now. I'm being serious. Feelings happen. And everybody has feelings. But the thing is no one likes to get involved with feelings. It's this thing. It's like, hey, by the way, John's going to be late to work today. And the other person says to you, oh, why? Is he okay? Does he need anything? Man, how is he feeling? And your response is like, man, I don't know. I mean, I just got a text message. I don't know all that. Because we don't take time to get to know the answer. We don't like to get to know. Because when we know information, what happens is we feel like we have to get involved. Oh, we don't want to get, don't make us get involved with other people's lives. Man, my life is way too busy to be involved with whatever you're doing. Deep feelings take time and take relationship. Feelings may not be right, but let me tell you this, feelings are real. Feelings may not be right, but feelings are real. You might not think that they should feel that way, but it doesn't mean that they don't feel that way. Their response might be over-exaggerative, might be something that you don't think that you'd necessarily have, but their response is real in their life. And every single one of us has feelings. Every single one of us has feelings. If anyone ever tells you that they don't have feelings, what they're really telling you is they don't trust you with their feelings. Oh man, I don't have feelings. I don't, that's stupid. Who has time for feelings? You're doing one of two things. You're either saying, I don't trust you with how I really feel, because guess what, you feel something, or you're lying to them. But you can live your life doing those two things, not trusting people with your feelings, and lying to other people, but the person who you're lying to the most is yourself. Is yourself. When someone communicates their feelings to you, they're saying, hey, guess what? I need you to support me. I need you to invest in me. I need you to help me. I need you to comfort me. Deep feeling communication is trust. Deep feeling communication takes time. It's not something that happens. Look, you cannot communicate effectively with one person with your mouth and another person with your fingers. If you're talking to someone, but they're talking to someone else on their phone, the thing is they're not connected to you. I'm sorry, but that's not only rude, but that's inconsiderate. No matter what the level is, even if it's surface level, what you're saying is, hey, I'm good enough to listen to you and give you either a surface or general information conversation back, but you know what, I can also do this at the same time. You're not worth 100% of my time, you're only worth 50% of my time because I gotta deal this at the same time. And my life is busy, so they're gonna understand. No. Communication isn't about how I can split it up between different people at one time. It's 100% at one time here, 100% one time here, 100% one time here, 100% one time here. The kids come in the middle of a conversation, you tell them, you got to wait. I'm talking. Your friend texts you in the middle of you having a conversation with someone, and they're going into a different level of, man, they got to wait. The thing is, we hate to wait. Man, that phone keeps on buzzing. You there? What's going on? It keeps on going and going. And you feel the need to respond to it immediately because God forbid someone thinks that you're rude and don't get to them, but the person that you're talking to probably thinks you're rude because you pick up your phone in mid-conversation. The best thing you can do is put the phone down, face down, move to the side. We got to talk about this. You said you need something? Let's talk about it. The thing is, we disconnect through Facebook. We disconnect through Instagram. We disconnect from actual conversation. And so when our phone goes off, we think whatever's on there, whether it's text message, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever that is way more important than whatever sits in front of you. And there's I have 600 friends on Facebook, but no real friends in real life. Because you don't take time to communicate. And on this deep level, when someone expresses their feelings, they become vulnerable now. And when you shut them down from talking about their feelings, when you reply back with the wrong kind of communication, what happens is all of a sudden you devalue them. You abandon them. You disconnect from them. And that's not on them because they have feelings. It's on you because you don't hear them. God, that's hard for me to hear. You guys okay? You guys are real quiet. Y'all, is this okay conversation to have? Okay, 14 people said yes. The rest of you just can endure. The fourth kind of conversation, the fourth way that we communicate is deep needs. Deep needs conversation and deep needs communication aren't the needs of like, hey, I need you to pick up the milk on your way home. This level of communication is a person trying to tell you that they've gotten past the surface, they've gotten past information, in fact, they've gotten past their feelings, and now they just simply need you. Now they just simply need you. They can get past all the other things. Man, we've gotten through surface, we've gotten through information. Man, I've gotten through the feelings part, and man, I just really need you. I really need you just to listen to me. I really need you just to help me now. I really need you just to hold me. I just really need you to be there for me. I need you to talk to me. I need you to have my back. That's a deep needs conversation. And what's happening is they're communicating where they lack in their life. They're at the base level. They have unabandonedly just ripped their heart open and said, I just need something that I don't have right now. Doesn't matter how you feel about it. Doesn't matter what all these other things are. Man, I just need something right now. And to reject somebody when they open up their heart and they share their needs with you is devastating, disastrous, and that is deadly. Your relationship will die when they rip open their chest and say, this is what I need. And you say, I don't have time for that. This isn't what I signed up for. And because communication on those two levels is so hard and so complicated, we have put up barriers to keep ourselves from those last two levels of communication. And here we are. These are four barriers to communication. When it gets to something that makes us uncomfortable, look, conversation and communication is gonna make you uncomfortable sometimes. If you only talk about the good things and the happy things and all these great things, then man, you're not getting through life. You're not fixing it, man. You're not living it real. It takes conflict to have conflict resolution. It takes a war to have a victory. But what happens is we don't like to think of conflict or even being uncomfortable. And so we have these four barriers. Number one is withdrawal. The first barrier to communication is withdrawal. We withdraw with our words, like the silent treatment, like I ain't gonna talk to you anymore. How many of y'all have lived in a house that's happened before? Y'all liar. Six people lifted their hand. That's right. She's like, no, I'm lifting my hand. I'm trying to write and I can't do these things. I got notes. My house, we don't do silent treatment. My wife is too Cajun and I'm too hard-headed to be quiet. If it's a silent treatment, there's something on TV. And we're both watching it. We don't do silent treatment. We don't have this barrier. This barrier is not built in my house. We get to the next one real fast, but let me talk about this one. Is what happens is when it gets something that you don't like, you got to get out of there. You don't want to talk about it. Man, I can't handle this right now. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm leaving. Man, I can't be here right now. I can't even speak to you right now. I can't even look at you right now. When it gets to something that you are so uncomfortable and you don't know what to do with, man, we withdraw because we can't even have this conversation right now. And there's a difference between you having to remove yourself from something so you don't do something stupid. Like when my wife has like pots and pans in her hand, I'm like, we need to just step it back a little bit. Because the next step is knives. I've gained a lot of weight and there's a lot to aim at. The reason why we don't have a gun in my house is this reason. I know, America, we love it. God bless you. We don't have a gun in our house because my wife is an excellent shot. And she's Cajun. And I'd be dead. She wouldn't shoot burglars. She would shoot her husband. And then hide it in the closet under the Gap bags. That's where I will be. But all of a sudden, when communication gets, we put up a wall and we withdraw from communication. Whether it's with silent treatment or we physically have to leave. And it happens over and over and over and over and over again. The second barrier is this, is escalation. Escalation is the next level of the barrier that we put up for communication. Instead of communicating, man, we'd rather fight about it than communicate about it. The louder I get, the more important I feel. Man, they must not have heard me. Let me say it again. Let me say it louder. And let me use some more expletives. And maybe they're understanding what I'm trying to get point across. What happens is we turn the volume up because we can't lift our character up. We got to talk up here because we're way down here. I got to yell at you because I live down here. And I really want you to be here. But I can't right now, so I'm just going to yell at you. You yell at someone when you feel like they have an elevated position and you don't. And there's a distance between you and them. But communication draws you together. And when you communicate, man, you don't have to yell. You're right there. But when you feel like, man, they must think they're better than me, I'm going to yell at them. Here's the thing, though, is escalation doesn't have to do with volume because there's these quiet escalators too. They control their volume and their tone and their emotion, but they don't control the words that come out of their mouth. They don't get loud, but they say the same things that hurt. They say the same thing they would if they were yelling. They believe they don't contribute to the escalation because they didn't ever scream. Because they never got loud. You know, she was loud, but I never got loud. It wasn't my fault, it was her fault. So she's the one yelling. It's not about the volume, it's about the words that you're saying. The third barrier that we build is this. So we have the withdrawal, we have escalation, and then we have belittling. When you can't withdraw and you can't win the argument, the next barrier that we do is we belittle. This one's hard for me because I probably skip past the first two. In my life, this is what happens. I skip past the first two steps. I'm not necessarily a loud yelling person. My whole life, I've always been a person who used my words against you. That's for sure. I have a stockpile of information that I'm just waiting for you to push the wrong button. And as soon as you hit that button, man, I'm going to let you know how I think about you. The thing is when you belittle somebody is you reveal the truth about your heart. you know, afterward, you guys have the victory or whatever the conversation is afterward, you'd like, man, I have no idea. I'm so sorry. I have no idea where that came from. I have no idea why I said that. The thing is the reason why you said it is because every time that she did something or he did something, you thought it. Man, she's so dumb. Why don't she get her stuff together? She's being stupid. And when it comes down to it and you get in the fight and all of a sudden you get to the belittling barrier, the thing that you've thought about in your heart but never spoke with your mouth comes out. And you're dumb. Man, you're so stupid. Man, you don't even know anything. You thought about it. You might think it came out of nowhere, but it came out of somewhere. That seed's been planted inside of your heart. And you're the one that planted that. The fourth one is this, is false promises. The fourth barrier that we do is false promises. Man, when we can't run away, when we can't win an argument, and belittling doesn't matter anymore, now we do these false promises. Man, I want this. I want communication just to stop. And I'm going to promise you that I'm going to change. I'm going to promise you that I'm going to do better. I'm going to promise you that I'll quit doing whatever it is, as long as we stop talking about it. As long as we don't have to go any further with this conversation, man, I'm going to promise to do something different. But in the reality is you're never going to change. You never intend to change. You really just want to stop this conversation from happening. That is common communication. That's what the world has given us in communication. But how many people are excited that we don't have to live in that kind of communication? That God has given us a new form of communication. That God has given us a right way to communicate. That God has given us a way not to tear people down, but to build them up. That we get to be instruments of God, not because we're perfect and not because we're worthy of it, but because He is willing to use an imperfect vessel to do something amazing in someone else's life. And so we're going to run through these things. And look, I know that there's people out here. Look, we are the sum of the words spoken over us. You existing right now are the sum of the words spoken over you. Whether by your parents, whether by people around you, when I look at you, I can see the sum of what people have said about you. If we can communicate. And I know that there's people out there that are hurt and torn down by the words spoken over you. But we have to, God transforms us by changing the way that we think. And we now have to take not the words that are spoken over us, but the words that God has spoken over us. So the very back, if you turn your notes over, the seven uncommon ways that we can communicate. And you can start today. The thing about God is His forgiveness. Is number one, we can praise people. Praise people. Man, you're doing a great job. What you're doing is awesome. We can praise people. Number two is thanksgiving. We can be thankful to people. We can be thankful for what people do for us. Thank you for doing the dishes. Thank you for washing the clothes and folding them and putting them in the drawer. Thank you for being you. People know where they lack. They know where they're wrong. They've been told their whole life, but they haven't been praised and they haven't been thanked. Number three is affection. Uncommon communication takes affection. It takes you saying, I love you to somebody. It takes you grabbing someone by the hand and saying, I'm here for you. Uncommon communication, it takes affection. God has affection towards you, and now we have the ability to show God's affection through us to other people. Uncommon communication takes affection. Number four, it takes encouragement. Man, you can do this. It's not about where you lack. It's not about where you fail. It's not about what you've done, but man, you can do it this time. I guarantee you, you can make it. Uncommon communication takes encouragement. Uncommon communication takes kindness. A kind word puts down wrath. You think in your head that you are justified for saying the unkind things about people you know and about people you don't know. Look, I've been on Facebook. I've been through the comments underneath it. Man, I know how you talk about people that you have never even met before. But uncommon communication takes kindness. It takes kindness. you look good today. Man, this food is good. Thank you so much. Those little things that take no effort on your part go forever. Number six, it's the truth in love. The truth in love. The truth in love. It's not your excuse to be mean and ugly to people. It is your way to show love to people. Love is kind and love is patient. Love is long-suffering. Love does not give up. Love is a lot of different things, but your communication, your truth stops at all those things. When you speak the truth in love, then you better speak the truth with patience. That means you're going to say it over and 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 over again. Love is kind. That means that truth is kind to that person. Speaking the truth in love takes time. It takes you having uncommon communication with somebody. And lastly, the last way that we can uncommonly communicate with people is with prayer. And that's how we're going to end the message. I feel like today that some people, first off, is you have to know something. And you can all look at me. There's no pastor, no group of pastors, there's no group of people that I personally know, and I know a lot of people, that love the people in the church like we do. You might not believe it. You might not even know me. I might not even know your name. But I love you. I know God has a plan for you. And there's some people in here that their whole life, they've been torn up, torn aside, because the words spoken over them have been death. They have no confidence. They're hurt. And they don't believe the uncommon things about God, because the common, the world has overwhelmed them. And it's used people to do that. With every eye closed, every head bowed, and no one looking around, if you're here and you say, Pastor Tom, I just need healing from the words that have been spoken to me. Man, I'm just a wreck right now. I want you to raise your hand right where you are. And that's so many people. So many people. Put your hands down. We're praying in a minute. Now, I want you to keep your eyes closed, your head bowed, and this is a bolder question, because this is where I stand, and my hand will be raised with you. If you say, Pastor Tom, you know, my life, my words, I've been that person. I've had common communication with people. I've hurt people through my words, but today I no longer want to live that way. I don't want to be the person that has this destructive communication, but man, I want to be the right kind of person. I want to have this uncommon communication with people, and today I want to change, and that's you. I want you to raise your hand. That's me. My hand's up with you guys. And that's everywhere. Hands down. Father God, you just pray right where you are, because it's not about the words that I say, but it's about the words that you say. So pray in your heart as I'm praying. Father God, I thank you for today, Lord. This is a day that you've made, Lord. I ask and I pray, Lord, that you move in people's lives. Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God brings healing to the broken. Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God moves into their lives where there's brokenness and hurt, where there's been abandonment, where there's been words spoken, Father, and speaks words of life into these people. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing and the power that you have to change. And Father God, for the people that raise their hand like me, Lord, that wants to change the way they communicate with people, and they want to move into a way. They want to move into a way of being uncommon communication, to do things the right way. Lord, I ask right now that you create in us a conviction of the Holy Spirit that draws us to communicate the way that we should communicate. Lord, we know it doesn't happen overnight, but Father God, over time, I know it will. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name, amen. The last thing before we pack up and before we take up the offering, I wanted to ask you this. If you're here and you say, Pastor Tom, I have no idea who God is. I've heard of him maybe. I didn't know I could be in a relationship with him. I didn't know that he thought these things of me. I didn't know we had this uncommon communication. But you know, today is the first day of the next rest of my life. And today I want to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front, but I am going to ask you to raise your hand. If today you want to do that, just raise your hand right where you are. Good. Everyone, in a minute we're about to take up offering, but I want to do this. Do not let the word spoken by me just be a Sunday message. Allow it to change your life and the way that you communicate, because we are worth uncommon communication. We want an uncommon life. We want to live this thing. Is that a good message? Come on, is that a good message? That's hard. That's hard. So right now, ushers, go ahead and get ready. We're about to take up offering. Ushers, you can get ready and get ready to pass the bucket. If you guys filled this card out, which I hope that you guys did, now's the time to put it when it goes by. You make out your checks. You're going to give regular tithes offerings. Go ahead and make the checks out to Church of the King. You can also give out through the app that we have. You can download that at the Apple Store, Google Store. You can also give online, cotk.us. There's a lot of different ways that you can give, and you guys are a very giving church, and I'm so excited to be a part of this church. Ushers, go ahead and come forward. I want to talk about this. Number one is next week is baptism. Next week, we get to get people wet for Jesus Christ. We get to get them wet and dunk them under the water to show their lives have changed. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. And if you want to be baptized, come let us know. If you're getting baptized, we're super excited. And if you want to celebrate people getting baptized, man, you better come. We better celebrate the mess out of this. Also, next week, for all the people that don't know, it is Mother's Day. Go ahead and pass the buckets, guys. Pass the buckets. Number two, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about kids' church. How many of y'all have kids that are in kids' church right now? Raise your hand. Guess what? Your kids are being informed that in the first weekend of June, we are going to Columbus, Texas to take your kids to a church camp that's going to change their life. It's absolutely amazing. It's $100, and that covers charter buses, that covers 3 days, all the food, that covers 2 t-shirts, and it covers everything that you ever want. So if you want information about how to get your kid plugged in, go ahead and when you pick up your kid, ask them for a packet. You go ahead and get a packet. Y'all stand up. Y'all still love me even though there's a rough thing. Yeah, two people, good. This side loves me, this side I'll get to you guys later. Come next service, I'll be better. You guys, thank you for being such a good church. Thank you for being such a, this is a God thing, guys. This is a God thing. 5 years ago, we were maybe 180 people. And now we're talking about expanding. Now we're talking about building. Now we're talking about going to different campuses. God is doing a good thing in Lake Charles, isn't he? I hope you're excited about the community that you live in. I'm going to pray, and when I say amen,